Hi, hello, and welcome to this episode of The Lives and Styles of Old Hollywood. Today's episode is about Bibi Daniels, Hollywood's good little bad girl. Bibi Daniels starred opposite such Hollywood greats like Rudolph Valentino, Gloria Swanson, and Douglas Fairbanks. She was a protege of Cecil B. DeMille and had an entertainment career that spanned almost six decades. As a child actress, on the stage, in silent movies, in sound movies, as well as on radio and TV. To quote the introduction of Charles L. Apting's biography on Bibi Daniels, defining the career of Bibi Daniels is not easy. She was a Shakespearean actress and she was a comedian. She was a vamp and she was a flapper. She was a radio star and a war hero. She was a television personality and she was a singer. She was a mother and she was a criminal. In the entire history of Hollywood, there's only one Bibi Daniels. Bibi Daniels was born Phyllis Virginia Daniels on January the 15th in 1901 in Dallas, Texas. Bibi was her childhood nickname and stuck for life. Her parents were deeply involved in the theater scene. Her father was a traveling theater manager and her mother a stage actress who had been in his traveling stock company. Bibi actually made her stage debut at 10 weeks when her father carried her onto the stage when there was no part in the play for a baby. She crept his nose and he ad-libbed, "Let go of my nose, you little rascal." Bibi was a hit, and from then on her father would present her whenever possible for an easy laugh. He apparently had a hard time loving his daughter. He did not find her attractive and was desolate. That changed with that one appearance on stage. Bibi Daniels' childhood life was neither happy nor idyllic. Her father had originally trained to become a doctor back in England, moved to America, became an actor, and later a theatrical manager. He turned to the physical culture movement and had a shady yet successful business providing training to aspiring actors and actresses. Her parents divorced when Bibi was about 3 years old and moved with her mother to Los Angeles, where Bibi Daniels started her acting career at the tender age of four. She appeared in the first version of The Squaw Man, went on tour with a production of Shakespeare's Richard III, and went on the stage in productions by Oliver Morosco and David Belasco. Already at that young age, Bibi Daniels was a huge hit and had newspapers exclaim, "Infant actress makes big hit, clever actress, talented in a degree far beyond the average child, and her having a naturalness all too rare among stage children." Bibi Daniels also became the youngest theatrical manager when child labor laws were enforced in California. In order to circumvent these laws, her mother made Bibi a stakeholder and partner in a theater company. As she was now self-employed, the child labor laws did not apply to her. As newspapers reported back then, today she was made a full partner in the Belasco Theater Company and she receives 15% of the profits of the company. The courts, though, saw through the charade and prohibited the move. Nevertheless, as the story was printed nationwide, Bibi Daniels was now known to millions of people. Bibi Daniels started out in Hollywood as a child star. At age 7, she starred in A Common Enemy with the Selleck Company. At age 9, as Dorothy in the 1910 short movie The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. When Daniels was 14 years old, she signed a deal with Hal Roach for $5 a day and starred with star comedian Harold Lloyd in One Reel Comedies. The first of them was 1915's Giving Them Fits. All in all, she acted in about 144 shorts and movies during her time at Hal Roach. 4 years later, in 1919, Daniels opted out of the contract and accepted an offer from Cecil B. DeMille instead. He cast Daniels in secondary roles in his productions, like Male and Female, Why Change Your Wife, and The Affair of Anatole. Eventually, though, Daniels signed with Paramount Pictures and made the transition from child star to adult in Hollywood in 1922 at age 21. In 1924, she starred opposite Rudolph Valentino in Monsieur Beaucaire and followed it up with popular movies like Miss Bluebird or The Manicure Girl. All in all, light entertainment. 1920s audiences also knew Bibi Daniels as the good little bad girl, a good-hearted but impetuous young woman getting into whirlwind adventures. One of the most amusing stories about Bibi's life and fame is her 10-day jail sentence for speeding. It actually was the best publicity stunt that Paramount could hope for. Bibi's cell got decorated with Persian rugs and fine furniture. Local orchestras played only for her, and she looked through the bars and she was allowed to have up to 50 visitors a day. She was released after only 9 days for good behavior. This totally matched her on-screen persona. But Paramount dropped Daniels with the advent of sound. Instead, Daniels signed with RKO and starred in its first scheduled feature, Rio Rita. This movie became one of the more successful movies of 1929. The musical comedy launched Bibi Daniels' career as a musical star, and she was hired by RCA Victor to record several records. Other musical films followed, like 1930's Dixiana and Love Comes Along. The same year, Daniels starred in a musical Reaching for the Moon, but as the era of musicals came to a close and did not draw big crowds at the box office anymore, most of the musical numbers, and thus Bibi Daniels' numbers, had to be cut before it was released. As Bibi Daniels had become closely associated with musical movies, RKO opted not to renew her contract. Instead, Warner Brothers signed her, realizing that she was an immense box office draw nevertheless. She would star in My Post, Honor of the Family, and a 1931 version of The Maltese Falcon. In 1933, 32-year-old Daniels also starred and sang in the successful musical comedy 42nd Street. In 1934, she filmed her last role for Warner Brothers, Registered Nurse. Bibi Daniels had been the victim of a stalker in the 1930s. 36-year-old World War I veteran Albert F. Holland was delusional and under the impression of having wed Daniels in Mexico in 1925. He broke into Daniels' hotel room in San Francisco in 1931, had to be removed by security and was admitted to the Arizona State Asylum. But he escaped 1 year later and sent more than 150 threatening letters to Daniels. He got arrested twice more before a lengthy trial took place in LA. In the end, the jury found Holland guilty and he was committed to a psychiatric facility for an undefined period of time. Following this trial, Daniels and her husband moved to England in 1935. The family of four, Bibi Daniels, her husband Ben, and their two children moved to London. But it was only in 1939 that they re-emerged in the entertainment world. This time, though, it was on radio. They co-starred in a series of commercial radio shows recorded for Radio Luxembourg. During World War II, they worked for the BBC in their radio program Stars and Stripes in Britain, and the two worked long hours interviewing nurses, surgeons and armed forces, capturing their stories and build morale. Bibi was actually the first female civilian to visit the beaches of Normandy after D-Day, interviewing wounded Americans. Later, Bibi Daniels starred in the widely successful comedy radio series High Gang, with Bibi Daniels having most of the dialogue. She would also star in the London production of Panama Hattie a couple of years later. Bibi Daniels also added director onto her resume when she returned to Hollywood in 1945 to work as a producer for Hell Road and Eagle Lion films. But she returned to the UK in 1948 for good. The radio sitcom Life with the Lions, in which the whole family, Bibi, Ben, as well as the kids Richard and Barbara, starred. It ran from 1951 to 1961 and even made the transition to TV in two movies. The Lions became one of the most prominent and most beloved families of the UK. John Lennon even called an album Unfinished Music No. 2 Life with the Lions. Her family and their semi-autobiographical radio sitcom boosted morale and impacted millions of people. But her intense association to the UK also meant that Bibi Daniels got largely forgotten by Hollywood. It was in 1963 that Bibi Daniels suffered a severe stroke which led her to withdraw from the public. 7 years later, she suffered a second stroke and died on March 16, 1971, at the age of 70, of a cerebral hemorrhage with her husband Ben by her side. She was cremated in London. Her ashes, though, returned to the US and interred at Hollywood Forever Cemetery. When Ben Lyon died 8 years later, his remains were interred right next to his late wife. As you already heard, probably, there were two men in Bibi Daniels' life. First, it was Harold Lloyd. So Bebe Daniels met comedian Harold Lloyd, who was 8 years her senior at the Hell Road Studios in 1915, when she signed a contract to appear opposite him. And they eventually started a romance, which was widely publicized. But as the names of actors and actresses were not widely known back then, they got to be known in and around Hollywood as the boy and the girl. This affair or romantic relationship did not go anywhere, but it was actor Ben Line who captured Bebe Daniels' heart for good. So Ben Line and Bebe Daniels got married in 1930, both being 29 years at that time. Line had had a successful career starring opposite Pola Negri, Gloria Swanson, Colleen Moore, Barbara Lamar and Mary Astor before he met Daniels. His greatest success was in the same year that they married, when he starred opposite Jean Harlow in Hell's Angels. Line and Daniels had two children, daughter Barbara 1 year into the marriage and one adopted son, Richard. The couple stayed happily married until Daniels' death in 1971. So this is a true love story. So Bebe Daniels was Hollywood's good bad girl. And she was primarily a flapper in her younger years. She was sporting the short bobbed hairdo, she wore flapper dresses and a flapper makeup. Throughout the years, she always was fashionably and elegant though, without anything standing out. And personality-wise, Bebe Daniels was always optimistic and happy. She was looking at the world with appreciation and pride eyes, seeing and taking the responsibility and the opportunity that she saw right in front of her, which is quite in line with her image. And apparently, there is one man in particular who was a fan of Bebe Daniels, and that is gangster boss Al Capone. When Bebe Daniels' jewelry, which was worth thousands of dollars, went missing in San Francisco in the early 1920s, Al Capone took charge. He said that if the jewelry was not sent back within 24 hours, he himself would find the culprit. And you guessed it, the jewelry was returned the next day. So what can we learn from Bebe Daniels? Well, the first lesson is be private or not. So Bebe Daniels made a conscious decision to be very private, to not give the media too much to talk about, to move to England. And this probably protected her family and her marriage, which was long and happy. But it also meant that she was forgotten way quicker by Hollywood and later audiences because her name was not mentioned very often. She did not appear in fan and gossip magazines as often. And eventually she was not even in Hollywood anymore. So this is just about a conscious choice. You can be private. You can keep it all to yourself. You can protect your privacy and your family. But don't expect to be a star, to be something or someone that everybody wants a piece of. It is up to you to decide what you want and make a conscious choice and decision what you are willing to offer to the world and what you are willing to not accept. And the second is in that line as well, because that is you are free. Bebe Daniels moved from the US to the UK and she fully immersed herself into the English culture and she took on many roles for the UK during World War II. Now, we luckily live in an age where we can choose where we want to live, what our lives are supposed to be and look like, and we are in charge. So never succumb to the notion that you are the victim of place and circumstance. You are the main protagonist of your life and you can choose where your story and your lead character, you, goes. So you are free to choose and to make a conscious decision of where you want to be and what your life story will look like. And Bebe Daniels did that and she carved out a life for herself that she found very fulfilling and happy in the end. So I hope that gave you some food for thought. I hope you got interested in Bebe Daniels and you will watch some of her very awesome movies. As usual, I enjoyed talking to you and I can't wait to do this again next week. Have a wonderful time until then. Bye.